Well, tonight there is a standoff in Parliament over the proposed legislative instrument to regulate the prices of cement on the market. The NDC minority has finally declared their stance. They are opposed to the instrument in its current form. The LI, being sponsored by the Trade and Industry Minister Katie Hammond, has been opposed by cement manufacturers who have urged Parliament not to allow it to become law. We'll take you to Parliament shortly, but let's take a listen to the Trade and Industry Minister, who says the bill will regulate the price of cement on the market when passed into law.
So I don't see anything outrageous, strenuous, extraordinary about the policies we are putting in place. So let's try it and see. I don't know what the provisional view of this matter is, but of course, when we get in there and they start challenging me on this, we'll see what to do.
Yesterday, you tried to lead this.
I mean, get this. That's why I was telling those people this afternoon. They got to be careful about this. No, I didn't try to lay. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I spoke to the majority on what to do, but I've got this document that we're doing. And then he asked me if I've spoken to the minority leader. I said I hadn't. And he said, okay. Let him know. I would also let him know. Because see, constitutionally, all that it takes in the allies is to go to Parliament.
And they start counting.
Say that they start counting. That's all there is to it. So all this, give this, let this person, it's in its very nature by Article 11 of the Constitution. Mr. Speaker, by the leadership, ally to be late.
That was your view. Recall, we had the conversation on the attempt last year to also, and you haven't succeeded.
Well, yet. No. You see that.
So the Evans,
which you said you haven't succeeded. It isn't because the other side has prevented me from doing it. We've got to be careful about some of this.
So what is the issue?
They cannot, for any reason, prevent me from. It's unconstitutional. They can make all the noise on earth about wanting to prevent me from laying it. Constitutionally, no authority. The Speaker cannot prevent me. That's an entirely different matter.
So you've withdrawn it yourself?
That's a different matter. You know, you won't force me to give you the reason.
No, but if it's important, right? If it's not because of the opposition, is it not?
Well, sure. Whether I give you the reason or not, it's a matter.
Did you withdraw it?
It's my discretion. I don't intend to discuss it with you at the moment. But what is it that, get it on record, the opposition cannot. The Speaker cannot. The Constitution mandates the procedure under which this is introduced. And that's what I intend to do.
So let me ask you then on this.
Yes.
Considering your position from the Cement Manufacturers Association,
yes.
How do you
I intend to ignore it. I am working in the interest of the good people of Ghana and not in the interest of the cement manufacturing company. Have you read the letter? I keep saying it's an insulting letter.
So
I responded to
the person. When you hope to get this lead and counted?
Yesterday, after I discussed it with the leader and I discussed it with the minority leader, I am told subsequently that the Speaker asked the Select Committee on the legislation, subsidiary legislation committee, to literary grad school. Look, how many pages are this? One. That's all there is.
Five pages at most.
So it's out of my hands now. I've given it to my leader, majority leader, to get it laid.
So you expect that in 21 days this should become law?
It should become law, yeah. When we lay it, today's what, Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday.
Thursday, Friday, I suspect that.
Well, so he aims to lay the legislative instrument in Parliament and secure its passage before the current session expires. But minority spokesperson on legal and constitutional affairs, Bernard Ahiafo, tells my colleague Kwaku Asante the LI contravenes its parent act, the Ghana Standards Authority Act.
The committee also look at the law under which they were bringing the legislative instrument under reference. That is Ghana Standards Authority Act 2022. Act 1078, and with particular reference to the objects of the authority, Ghana Standard Authority, and Section 80, things that the minister is empowered to do a regulation to cover. Some of us are with a view particular regulation is in contravention with the parent act, or it is not born out of the parent act, because the parent act by its objects deals with all goods and services. That is setting the standard for all goods and services, including the cement. And the understanding of the standard is controlling the quality of all goods and services produced in the country and imported into the country. So by even the authority, Ghana Standards Authority, the authority is responsible for setting the standard in terms of the quality, but not price control. And nowhere was price control even stated throughout the airline. What came close to it is selling. And then if you are going to talk about selling, selling is different from pricing of the goods and services. And we are of the view that if today an airline is allowed to pass through parliament, which will set the or which will control the price of cement, then equally all goods and services produced in this particular country must go through price control, because you cannot single out only cement. When the parent act is dealing with all goods and services, then it means tomorrow there can be an ally to control the price of cement. There can be an ally to control the price of cassava. There can be an ally to control the price of rice. Anything being goods and services in this particular country can be subjected to price control.
Well, so Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwaku Asante joins us with more details. Kwaku, you asked Bernard Ahiafo why they would allow the or won't allow the ally to go through so that it can be challenged in court if they say it contravenes their parent law. What is their response or his response to this?
So, Brent, you hear the ranking member of the Constitutional Legal Affairs Committee say that the Parent Act, which is the Ghana Standards Authority Act, does not allow the minister to be acted in this way. Which what he's suggesting is that the ally is blatantly unconstitutional, it's unlawful. My question to him is, if that is unconstitutional, that is the domain of the Supreme Court and the court. They have the ability to interpret these laws and put them side by side and make an analysis and come to the conclusion whether a law is lawful or not. And so why would you not allow the minister lay this ally, let it mature into law, then these cement manufacturers or any other person for that matter can't go to the court to challenge that? The answer of the minority is that if that position were allowed to hold, that would mean that Parliament can't do any job, and that as members of Parliament, they are allowed to scrutinize these regulations and make a point. He's also believing that they can't get to the point where they'll be able to convince the minister that what he's doing may not be lawful, and they may drop this along the line. Listen.
Well, that is a very long procedure. Living together is just a matter of understanding. That is even the very essence of the time-tested practice and the convention of Parliament that allies are supposed to go through the pre-laying consideration. So having gone through the pre-laying consideration, the members of the committee should be able to make input, and if there is an understanding, why resort to a court procedure? So it's like, though there are so many ways of killing a cat, this is the immediate procedure that can be adopted. So the minister was before the committee, and conclusively, if a decision is being taken amicably, then whoever is to take a consequential step will take a consequential step. So I believe strongly the court should be the last resort. Yes. So when there are domestic remedies available, what do you then resort into the court? If everything in Parliament will have to end up in court, then it means the court will gradually be converted into Parliament. Whatever work that Parliament is supposed to do, everything, it ends up in the court. Everything, it ends up in the court. That is not how it happens in other jurisdictions. So I believe we sometimes jojo and then we come to amicable conclusion on the issue. There are so many examples of ally that was brought, but through the pre-laying exercise, the sponsors also came with the realization that what the committee is saying is really the truth, so they couldn't even lay it in Parliament because we are all looking at the law.
Well, Kwaku, the minority is also claiming that if this proposed ally is allowed to become law, it could lead to what they describe as hoarding and black market activities. What basis did they give for this claim?
So according to Bernard Ahiafo, and if that is their conditional statement, should this ally even become law in the first place, These cement manufacturers are private entities who are working for profit. They can decide that if government tells them to sell at this particular price, then they will probably just sell a small market, a small portion of their produce to the market, let out a bigger part of that to black market activities so that they will be able to make profit, ultimately, which is their aim of being in business in the first place. He believes that the country Ghana should not be getting back to the place where government should be in the place of deciding for businesses how much they should be charging for their produce. That indeed, government should rather be looking at the cost of the dollar, the cost of doing business in the country. And ultimately, that could lead to a downward reduction in the price of cement, and not by way of regulation.
That particular regime of price control to allow economic indicators to be able to determine the price of goods and services. And clearly, I am a lawyer, I'm not an economist, but I know there are determinants of pricing. A good example is that 3 months ago, $1 is 12 cedis, but today, $1 is 16 cedis. So if you used to buy a raw material at 12 cedis, today you are purchasing the raw material at 16 cedis. So if after purchase of the raw material outside the country will cost you 12 cedis and you have to sell the goods at 15 cedis in order to make profit together with other recoverable costs, and today the price of the same raw material has moved to 16 cedis, what do you think will happen to the price of the product? Definitely it will go up. Now, another factor is interest rate. So we need to find a way of dealing with prices of goods and services generally, rather than using a method of price control. Now, another problem that the committee has realized is that if you want to engage in price control, then it may lead to artificial shortage and black marketing. Artificial shortage and black marketing in the sense that if the cement producers, for instance, have taken a decision that, oh, they will just produce a small quantity of cement, whoever can illegally purchase it at the price that they will sell it in order to make a profit should come for it and put it somewhere in the black market. And if you are looking for the cement in the system, you are not getting it, and you need it, it's an essential commodity. What we mean is that you have to resort to that particular black market to be able to purchase the product. I don't think as a country we need to be introducing laws that will take us back into price control regime. And we realize that the ministry may not even have the requisite personnel to be able to even check the price that they are fixing for the product all over the country. For instance, cement in Accra may be 90 cedis, but at the time that the cement gets to Zabila is 120 cedis.
Well, the Subsidiary Legislation Committee met today with the minister and to discuss this particular proposed LI. Kweku, we understand journalists were not allowed in. Do we have any info about the outcome? If you can do this for me in the next 10 seconds, I'll be grateful. Okay, so we don't have him, but let's go on the phone lines now and bring in Yusuf Sulemana, who is ranking on Trade and Industry Committee of Parliament. Grateful to you for joining us here. Now, if you listen to the Minister of Trade and Industry, he says there's little or there's nothing MPs can do to stop him from laying this LI. Your reaction?
Yeah, so first of all, it's not about there's nothing that MPs can do from stopping him. It's about ensuring that Ghana is not turned into a kangaroo kind of state. We are a state that respects each other. We are a country that we want to do what is right. He didn't just come from his house as an individual to lay the legislative instrument. He's coming there as a minister of state, and he should know that he was elected. His president was elected, and the very people who elected him have their representative parliament that is supposed to speak for him. So we do know that he can go ahead to lay it if the speaker allows him. But at the end of the day, he wants to make a law that will sort of inure to the benefit of the people. What are we talking about? If we do a law, it will create more problems. What would be the sense of doing that law? Mm. As I speak to you, I have spoken with the number of industry players, and they have all said that they were not even involved. They were not consulted. The truth of the matter is that if you look at the cost of producing cement, you can separate it into two broad components. You can look at activities you can look at costs that government can have control over, and there's another cost that government will not have control over. For instance, pricing of cement will include taxation. Can some government do something about the taxation? Pricing of cement has something to do with levies. For instance, we have what you call the fumigation levy. Fumigation levy, when they bring in a clinker, they are supposed to fumigate it. Now, government doesn't fumigate it because it's not necessary, but yet government charges money for the services. Again, when you go to the portals, we speak. When clinker comes, they are giving only one place that they can deck. What it means is that there's always some kind of congestion there, which leads to demurrage. And so they pay between $35,000 to $45,000 per container. And so if they pay demurrage and do all these things, at the end of the day, it builds up into the cost of production. Can government do something about this? Government can just liaise with the Ministry of Transport and, for that matter, GPA, so that they can give them more spaces to be able to deck. Once are short, I can tell you, manufacturers will be ready to reduce the price.
Okay,
you don't even need to legislate.
So
if we are not careful, we'll end up legislating for every commodity in this country.
Okay, Suleimana, so you are talking about what, you know, something that will benefit the majority. And I'm happy you mentioned that, you know, you are there for the people of Ghana. Now, what if the people want a regulation that can control the price? I want you to listen to the voices of Ghanaians on the street of Accra, and then I'll come back to you for a reaction.
Actually, I do not agree to that bill.
Why?
Because him saying that people will go to court and those kind of things, I do not see this as a reasonable idea. Because now, the distance, price of things have increased. So they too, they buy things in terms of production and tax. Look at VAT alone, which is almost 15%. So where do you expect them to get their money? That means you want them to collapse their companies, which is impossible. Then they will divert their distance, their VAT into their customers. That is why this law cannot function. Actually, this year, Christ election year, I was expecting some high subsidies to be on cement and a lot of building materials. Look at that crowd we are living. Most people, they don't have houses. Yes. So I was expecting that there should be subsidies on this. Not to send people to distance, called for a jail for 3 years. It does not make sense at all.
As you see, the price has been going up every day, all the time. And real estate, those who deal in real estate, they are spending money. And it's a lot of money that they are spending all the time. I myself am like, you know, in Kaswa, even because I think the price here compared to Kaswa shouldn't be the same. But here is Accra, and the Kaswa too is like, it's in the central region. Maybe the high cost of living here, that there's high cost of living in Accra than in Kaswa. So all that I would say is, if the bill is going to help us, then I'm okay with it.
So there you have it. Some customers feel that if the bill is going to help in regulating the prices, they are okay. These are your members. These are the people, for the reason that you are in Parliament and you say you need to ensure that any law that is brought to Parliament and is inures to the benefit of them. So how do you react to them saying that if there's a law to regulate prices, they are okay, and to say that, well, manufacturers also say that you cannot then control them in pricing their commodities? Okay, so but we'll still get Yusuf Suleimana back on the line so we can have a chat with him here. But we also have Deborah Ablotmeti, who is former Vice President of Ghana Real Estate Developers Association. Grateful to you, Stephen, for joining us. What do you make of all of these conversations going on? The minister says, well, we want to control how much cement manufacturers price their good. What's your reaction?
First of all, let me take the opportunity to greet all your discerning listeners and viewers as well, and to say that this particular bill is an exciting one for us developers. It is an exciting one for us because we have to grapple with cost of material
from a very short interval. For instance, the last time cement price was increased in Ghana, or just in May, it was increased by 10 cents. And then, as of this morning, we got a text message from the cement manufacturers that effective 1st of July, they are increasing it again by 12 cents. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you're on a project that it takes you 24 months to develop, given the fact that cement contributes to about 70% of the building component, okay? Because once the price of cement is increased, the size, the price of block is increased, price of concrete is increased, price of plastering materials are all increased because it is the same ingredients that affect them in terms of their component. So you realize that you get on a project from January before December, this project is already experiencing 30-45% increase in cost. How do you survive if you have agreed on a price of this very product with a buyer from the onset? So it's becoming ridiculous. And I think that a bill of this nature will bring some kind of sanity to the market, because we need to have price control so that we are able to meet the requirements of whatever we are supposed to be living up to. Yeah, and not only cement. In fact, the conversation should be extended to iron rods as well.
Okay.
Within the last 2 months, it's been 28% increase. How do we manage our costs as developers? So this is not getting funny at all.
Mm.
So we strongly support the position of the Honorable Minister to push this agenda. And with the backing of industry, we should be able to have some conversation that will be equitable for all on the market.
Do I take it that you don't buy the explanation by the manufacturers that, well, cost of input are on the rise and that's why it's important they also increase their product?
Well, I believe that if developers want to store the same cost, people will not be able to get properties in this country. Because if I sell a house at 40,000 Ghana cedis, I can't go back to my buyer and tell the buyer that the cement price has gone up, you know, twice or thrice in a week, and the property is not completed, therefore I want you to readjust the price. We don't go and have such conversation. So at least there should be a price ceiling on the product for a minimum duration of time. If it is 12 months, then people can go about their duties without bothering themselves about all these arbitrary prices coming up.
Okay, so stay on the line with me. I have Yusuf Sulemana, who is ranking on the Trade and Industry Committee. We'll still get him back so we can have a chat on this. We'll also be speaking to an economist on this to try and understand from the economist's point of view whether this is what we need or not. But grateful you're raising this point. Again, once you are into construction and they are also into manufacturing, you understand that doing this product comes at a cost. They are calling on government to say, why don't you fix the fundamentals of the economy? Don't you agree that they have a point also to call on government to fix the fundamentals so that we can all play at a fair playing ground?
Yes, they do have a point to call on government to assist so that they are able to also control and stabilize their price. There are so many incentives they can go for just to make sure that they are able to keep their price under control. Because the way things are going, we can easily predict that in the next year, we may be buying cement over 200 Ghana cedis. And how are we going to even get or realize our affordable housing dream? So these are some of the things we have to have a strong conversation around. If government will have to do reduce some port duties for them on some of the components that they're importing and all that, yes, they should go for that.
Okay.
And then the rest of the people can enjoy the
economy. Okay. All right, so stay with me. Let me bring in the ranking again. Sulemana, I'm grateful that you've rejoined. Now, you've heard the Greta, former vice president, there saying that it's important we have such a law to regulate the price of this commodity. And what's your reaction when you hear the customers saying that it's important we get a law?
First of all, let's make this clear. Nobody is saying that the cost of cement in the country is acceptable. Nobody's saying that. And you can check the records. I started talking about high rises of cement since 2020. And I have provided a lot of solutions. And I hope that the Minister of Trade would have taken that on board. If he had done that, there wouldn't have been the need foreign legislation. What we are saying is that the cement manufacturers are even ready to sit with the government so that when government says that, look, fumigation levy, that is charged on clinker, we are going to take it away. In any case, when the clinker comes, okay, there's no any fumigation, yet they are paying. So can government take it away? There are certain taxes that we think that are not necessary. And if government can take them away, there wouldn't be the need to even legislate. If we are not careful, we have to legislate when it comes to rice. If we are not careful, we have to legislate when it comes to sugar.
But Suleiman, I mean, are you convinced that it's because of some of these taxes that's why we are buying the product at the price we are buying today? Can it also be that the minister has cited profiteering on the part of manufacturers? Wouldn't that be a factor?
So what you do is to sit with them and let them know that the cost of producing cement, a bag of cement, is this. And now you now look into it. The tax component, how far can government subsidize that? How far can government come in? Once government comes in, what they are doing is just a short-term measure, okay? We want the minority, our case is that we want a long-term measure that will inure the benefit of Ghanaians. I have a house I've been struggling to complete. Because of price of cement, I'm unable to complete it. I want a situation where whatever government is doing will be sustainable so that I will be able to finish the construction of my house so that so many Ghanaians can go in and so many Ghanaians can also build their houses. Don't forget that if we are not careful, we are going to introduce a system where these manufacturers can come together, okay, and ensure that they produce below supply.
Well, Suleiman, there's an associate professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts, Isabella Weber. Now, she argues that there's once more a choice between tolerating the ongoing explosion of profit that drives up prices or tailored controls on carefully selected prices. Price controls would buy time to deal with bottlenecks that will continue as long as the pandemic prevails. Now, she says strategic price controls could also contribute to the monetary stability needed to mobilize public investment towards economic resilience. I mean, this is an economist speaking there. You don't agree that price control is one of the ways we can help check inflation?
I think that we are not getting this right. Nobody is saying that price control is not right. Strategic price control regimes are right. But we are saying that in this particular case, it was possible for us to government to do other things that will not even lead to, that will not even, I mean, be necessary for us to legislate. And that's what government is running away from. And we are saying that what government is doing is not sustainable and it can lead to other problems.
Okay, thank you, Suleiman, for joining. I'm grateful to you for sharing your point with us, your thought with us here on the top story. But let me bring in economist Professor John Gachi for a short conversation. Prof, what do you make of this discussion that the minister says, I want to have a law to regulate pricing of this commodity?
You ask yourself, why olein cement if it's the right thing to do? Because you don't use olein cement for construction. You use other materials which are also very sensitive to price development in the country. So we need to look at that because if we are not careful, we'll get to a point that all sense up items which are sensitive to prices will be drawn under price control and will not be the best for the economy.
That's my point.
All right. I'm grateful to you, Professor John Gachi, for joining, and Suleiman also for joining. I'm grateful. This has been Top Story. Coming up next is Newsnight.